as you and I search through our own spiritual being, I want us to remember something, that to be thankful is to be active. When we're thanking God for what we have, we thank God not just with our tongue, but with our actions. We thank God that we are living in the greatest nation that's ever been known, the United States of America. This nation is a gift from God. Now, this morning, as we're looking at our message, at God's holy word, are we really just looking at ourselves, and then here we see God standing there, and God is ready to pour out all his blessings on each one of us? Are we an individual that wants to receive the gift? And everybody loves receiving the gift. But then forget the giver. Oh, God had blessed me in so many ways, we will say. Well, we will say that at certain times. Do we say it when someone says, oh, you've done real well with your life? Do we look at that and say, thank you, because I'm so smart? Or do we understand within our heart that everything that you and I have ever received is a gift from God? God says that I love you. And God says, now I'm going to give each one of you specific gifts. I'm going to give each one of you specific abilities. And as God created us, looking inside of knowing what he is creating within each individual creation, God is going to give each of us a special gift to such a great degree, there will never ever be anyone ever born just like us. We joke about that all the time, said when God created you, he broke a mold. Well, that's true. But when God created us, we need to understand that through his love, he shares with each individual personality the actions and the authority and the gift that we will need to help others. You and I, professing Christians, are to focus on anybody but ourselves. I don't have time to pay attention to what's going on with me if I am going to truly deal with God's message. That's not my job. My job is to present the gospel of Jesus Christ and to believe what God has said through his holy word, that God will take care of all the rest. And he does. So what happens when you and I, as a Christian, decide, why, good gracious, I've read the Bible so many times I can't count. I've done this so much and all of this. Lord, that's okay. You take a break. Go work with somebody else because I know it all. Now, there is a period in our life called the teenage years when we know that we know everything and our parents know absolutely nothing. That's exactly what so many Christians act like when we have been blessed with so much. Well, yeah, I deserve it. I know what I deserve. I deserve death. I deserve pain. I deserve not to be loved. But I happen to be a child of God. And when Jesus went to that cross, he did not give me what I deserve. He gave me His love and His forgiveness, and He took care of everything else in my life. He's the one who said, your days were plotted before time ever began. I knew you. I know who you are. And I'm going to allow you to be born at a certain time, certain generation. And then He said, remember, there is an appointed time for you to be born, but there is also an appointed time for you to leave this body. And the body will go back to the dust from whence it was formed. But the scripture says, but my spirit, your spirit, will ascend to heaven to the one who gave it. Adam was nothing but a piece of mud, dirt, until God breathed into him eternal life. None of us were ever born or created to die. None of us. But God gave us free will. And God has watched that free will taking place in the human existence since the beginning of time. And as He watches it, and as He gives to you and He gives to me, are we thankful only for getting? When we say, I thank God for such a great family, for such a great love, a love that supersedes all understanding, when I thank God for that, then is our thanking to the point to where it's only in our mind and not in our actions? See, when we express love, love is expressed in action, not a word that comes from the tongue, but a spirit that comes from action. Love of God supersedes any love within the human race. And aren't you thankful? Because every time we turn around and we think, you know, well, they said that they cared, but I'm hungry. I'm at home, and I don't have a way to get out. Do we not realize? Oh, listen, any of the folk who have, I've got to be blessed with getting to be around here for 20 years. Anyone knows that there's two areas of life that your pastor is very protective of: the children and the elderly. Now, if I say I love you and I don't want to help take care of you, well, you know, there's just so much that I can do. Well, actually, I thought that I preach and I teach that there's nothing God can't do. And if I'm going to do anything on my own, then I know that it's going to fail. Well, you know, I want to do this good thing. No, you and I want to do this God thing. We want to do what God has led us to do, not our thing. We don't want somebody to sit there and say, well, you know, I give and give and give to you, so I expect thanks. Now you've hurt my feelings. We give as Christians to the point that nobody should know that we're the ones that are giving. We should care more about others than ourselves. Then how is a Christian family going to be able to take care of themselves if we're busy out here in the world sharing the truth about the love of God and we just don't have that much time for our family? You know, God does an amazing thing with time. When God looks at our hearts and He sees that our priority is in His word, His truth, His calling, God is the only one that can stretch that time. The time you say, well, you know, if I do that, I'm not going to be able to complete at this time. Then all of a sudden you know that it's from God. You start doing it and it's done and you have time left over and you think, what happened? It's called God looking at our heart and witnessing our actions of thanksgiving. Being in action. God will take care of all the other stuff. When we, as His children, go out to be about our Father's business, He takes care of our business, whatever it might be. Now, the story I want to bring to you today is a story that's often read, often looked at in Scripture by all of us pastors and Christians, period. I want to give you some facts about the Scripture I'm getting ready to read to you. Fact is, individuals who are rejected by a dominant culture, I don't care which culture it might be, of any society, will form their own subculture. School age. You know, I feel so sorry for young folk going to school. Kids are mean to each other. I mean, they are just vicious. And I think, well, when do they grow out of that? Well, they grow out of it getting close to their 20s. And then as they're in their 20s, they start getting back into it again. It's called a life process, I guess. But young people need to understand something. That when a culture such as in school, we see it and hear it all the time. Well, no, us geeks, we sit together. And you walk into a lunchroom and you look over here and ask the teacher, say, we need to have some personalities that can do something. Oh, that's in the geek section right over there. There's your sports group over here in this corner. And we subdivide. Well, when Christ came, He told us that each individual we're going to subdivide. Why? Because there's no other personality like yours that'll ever be born. No, there's not. There's no other individual that can be about the business God created you to be about than you. God's not going to substitute. That would mean then that God made a mistake when you were born. And God does not make a mistake. There is no child walking on earth or that has already gone to heaven that God didn't bless earth with for us to be able to be thankful for. God doesn't make junk. God creates individual personalities to make a difference in His creation. And He tells us as Christians, get about my business. Now, we can stretch that. We got to watch it. Because I remember very well at Camelsville College and up at Southern, especially from boys' Bible school, you walk across to the other side, we would call it, and you'd go in for classes, and I would think, Lord, I didn't study for this, so I'd appreciate it if you'd just take over this test, because it's obvious. Because the Lord, I was spending my time, as you know, and the thing was, God did know exactly how I was spending my time. And the professor would say, you want a do-over? Did you know that God gives us every opportunity, every day to do over? Do you know that you and I are so blessed by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? He says to us every day when we get up or go to bed that I forgive you. And He says to us, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to lift yourself up to me, and I want to give you an opportunity to start all over again. And do you know that God continues to love us? Because every time, every day, just about with most of us, we said, Lord, can I have a do-over? No, but let's pay it forward. You do this now, and here's the blessings that others will receive. When you and I give to God, here's our problem. I'm giving this to God, expecting God to give me back multiple again. But I've just said, wait a minute, this is God's. This is God, and he tells me, this is what I want you to do with all that I give you. You dedicate a portion to me in every aspect of your life, folks, because it's mine. That's the agreement. That's the covenant. So when I give to God, I'm not giving expecting in return. It's God's. Whether he gives me anything back or not has nothing to do with it. It's God's. But, you know, I'm waiting for the blessing. Folks, I am a Christian. There's no greater blessing than an individual can ever have within their life to know that they will live forever with Jesus Christ in glory. Amen. And that he will always be a part of our life. Amen. There's none of us going hungry, especially in this church. All you got to do is look at your pastor to see what's happening now. Even though everything slows down as we get older, the love of God within us doesn't. The gifts he continues to give us. He has never slowed down in pouring out his blessing on us, has he? Can we bring one complaint to God against anyone? No. No. Hey, we have enough skeletons in our own closet. We don't know, Lord, I'm better than Randy. We have to watch ourselves. Because you see, each one of us are individuals serving the Lord as Christians. The subculture was this in Jesus' day. We have many of them within the church also. But listen, Luke 17, 11 through 19. And it came about while he was on the way to Jerusalem that he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a certain village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. Now, they did not come running up to him because that was against the law of the day. As a matter of fact, they had to walk around head drop saying, unclean, unclean, unclean. If they didn't do that and someone accidentally ran into them, then the leper would be stoned to death. So here you have a group of people walking around, dropping their head, unclean, unclean. But pay attention at this time. 10 leprous men who stood at a distance, they met him. Jesus is never so far away from you that he won't meet you. You got it? There's no such thing as a human disease that'll keep Jesus Christ from meeting you. So Jesus is looking at him. Here's another fact. During extreme adversity, any culture will plead for mercy. Oh, folks, how many situations have we been in? How many situations have we gotten ourselves in to where once again we'll plead, Lord, have mercy on me? Have you ever caught yourself trying to make a deal with God? Now, Lord, if you'll help me out of this, you know. The one that I really get a kick of out of the years has been, Lord, I want you to bless this lottery ticket because if I win, I'll give half of it to the church. Well, let me tell you something. If you have a dollar a week and you would just give 10%, that 10 cents, a dollar a week, 10 cents a week, and then you become, let's say, a millionaire, that means then, look at all the money, that $100,000. Well, you know, 10 cents a week's not bad, $100,000. Now, we got ourselves a problem there. What's going on? You and I are not ran by or pushed by God to do anything. God said, I want you to give from your heart. Now, I have never met the individuals who ever gave the millions to the church. God doesn't need it. Let me tell you something, folks. God does not need our money. He needs our dedication, and he needs our love and our thankfulness to him. Thankful enough that we'll reach down in the ditch of life and help those who can't or won't help themselves. Now, if I've got parents that are so ornery they won't take care of their own children, yes, I'll take care of their children. It'll aggravate the far out of me. While they're sitting around smoking a cigarette, that'll just drive me up the wall. But my calling's to take care of those who can't take care of themselves. Right? I'll let God work out the other stuff. So God tells each of us, at some point we'll be pleading for mercy. Lord, please have mercy. I love my child. I love my family, Lord. Please have mercy and protect them during this time. Do we not do that? For not, we better be. And they raised their voices. These are the 10 lepers. Saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, let's say in unison, 10. Now, this is the whole group saying it at the same time. You got to listen again. And they, plural, raised their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, the Lord could have said, I got time for one of you. Now, tell me which one of you has been so good, you've done this and done that. Do you know the Lord never said that? See, that's a fact that we'll plead for mercy. Here's another fact. Obedience is an act of faith. I have faith. How do I express my faith without being obedient to the God who called me? Now listen to this. Verse 14 of Luke 17. And when he saw them, as Jesus seeing them, he said to them, folks, they're still standing at a distance, just like you and I do so often. We stand at a distance from God. Standing at a distance from God keeps us from feeling secure, but it does not keep God from making us secure. If we're his child, we need to understand it. Go and show yourselves to the priest, which was a command for the Hebrews. You go and show yourself to the priest, they'll declare that you are clean. Therefore, you're back in the church and Social Security. We'll help feed you. You're back in the church, and that's what that was in those days. So they go to the priest. So Jesus says, go and show yourselves to the priest. Wait a minute. He hadn't done anything yet. So here's where they were. And it came about when? That as they were going, they were cleansed by faith. They saw Jesus at a distance. Lord, have mercy on us. What had they done? They recognized who Jesus was and is. Jesus saw the need. All 10 had a need. And Jesus said, go, show yourselves to the priest. And as they turned to go, they, all of them, were cleansed from the leprosy. Their going expressed their faith. Well, I have faith, Lord, that you've called me to preach. Well, why don't you preach? Well, I just don't feel like going. You know, God calls you to do something. Well, why don't you do it? Well, it's not right time. When God calls you and puts his hand upon you, it's the right time. He's the one that has no time constraints. And when you and I are connected to a God that has no time constraints, then time does not affect us. Jesus says, I at the right time. My time has come, Jesus said. And when it hadn't come, he'd tell them, it's not yet my time. Because Jesus was on God the Father's time clock, just like you and I are. So they turn and they walk away. And the going expressed their faith. But something went wrong, just like, and I'm talking about with their attitude. Because listen, the fact also is this. We are often quick to pray or to say, thank you, Lord, if you'll give me this, but we're slow to praise, to do what he said. How do I praise the Lord? I praise the Lord by doing what God calls me to do. I can sit down and say, thank you, Lord Jesus, and I can talk that all that I want to talk, and I can just picture the heavenly host saying, okay. We hear that a lot up here. Our voices should direct our walk. To thank God is to act for God, is to be about what God has called us to be about. Putting up with one another. Listen, folks, it's not easy just to put up with each other. It's hard to do that in marriages or in families. I mean, we're living in such a great nation. Everybody has their own rooms. The majority, they go in their privacy, shut the door. Have we done that to God within our heart? Thank you, Lord, for giving. If you need me again, I'll be right in here. What do we act out in our everyday life that the world will see is different? And they will come to us and say, what makes you have such hope? Where does your joy come from? Where is the attitude you have? Where did that come from? And at that point, you can either say that, and that's us sharing the gospel. It's a gift from Jesus Christ. It's not me. It is him. Or we can do the other. We can just say, oh, I don't know. My parents said I was smart my whole life, so I guess I just smart enough to take care of it. What happens? We pull it all back on self, and nothing in our Christian walk should ever have to do with me, me, me. It's always somebody else. I've had people ask me and say, well, if I take care of my family, isn't that tithing? I don't know. The scripture says that even the heathens take care of their own families. Christians, we got to get outside of just the ones that we have close-knit, that we say that we love, because if we will not step out to express God's love to the rest of the world, something's wrong. Now listen to starting at verse 15. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And now, here's the glorification. He was shouting glory to God with his mouth, and he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him, and he was a Samaritan. Do you see, when that subculture gets together, all of them, he was the only Samaritan of the ten. The rest of them were Hebrews. Well, a Samaritan, to be called a Samaritan, is to be called a despicable person. Nobody had anything to do with them. Could anything good come from Samaria? Is there any good people that even are around there? And he says, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who turned back to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, he looks at the Samaritan, and he says to him, rise and go your way. Now, this is important. Your faith has made you whole, or made you complete. The others received the blessing from Christ, but they refused to give praise to God for that blessing that they had received from Him, and physically they were healed. But He tells the Samaritan, you've been made complete to be in good health without Christ. What does it profit? To be in good health without the love of God within us, even though He has blessed us with that health. Jesus says, in order to be complete, I want to see the commitment at my feet to bow to the cross of God, the Christian faith, to know in whom we walk, who lives within us, who cares about us. It is Christ. And we give thanks through our actions. But let me tell you, it's hard from the human side to give to people that you just don't automatically like. And you want to chew them out and then give them something and say, God bless you. The greatest gift you and I can give is to bless somebody. Let me ask you to do this. Between now and the first of the year, anytime, every day if you need, let me ask you to extend your thanksgiving. When you're at a restaurant and you see how hard that waitress or waiter is waiting on you, you get in a conversation, you find out about the family, that's why they're having to work on Thanksgiving Day and all of this, to have, give them more from your heart. Don't say, well, God bless you, I'll be praying for you, when they need a loaf of bread. Don't give them a rock. Just go above and beyond, not expecting anything in return, but us doing the same thing that's been done for us and to us. I give to you freely, God says. You and I don't have a right not to give to others freely, not expecting anything in return. Don't even let them know who it comes from. Just do it. In some cases, you'll have to let them know. But just do something good every day, different. I know the greatest love that people normally have is money. And if you want to break that idol, give. People say, I want you to give till it hurts, or I want you to give till it feels good. Folks, just give because you know you should. A lot of hurting people out here. I mean, devastated. When you've got, what is it, 1.9 million that they say in Kentucky of children that are hungry? I said lock the parents up and feed the kids. But that's the Marine in me. Christ says take care of them, in hopes that the parents will get in order and help take care of them. Just do something great for Jesus. And the greatest thing you can do is to give through His love. Let's pray. Father, as we lift our voice to You in thanksgiving, in love, we ask, Heavenly Father, that as You touch our life in the weeks ahead, place somebody, Father, in our path. And Father, we trust You to let us know what we need to do and how to do it. I ask You, Father, in the name of Your Son, Jesus, that You will give us the true spirit within our own being,
of the love of your Son, and that you give us the courage, as only you can, to share that love with a lost and dying world. Touch each heart. Help us to help others in Jesus' name. Amen.